Divine Shepherd Lutheran Church and School in Black Hawk, South Dakota, is happy to share God's Word preached for you by Pastor Randy Sturzenbecker. We pray that you will rejoice in Christ crucified and resurrected for you. The waters of baptism, the Lord's Supper, and the forgiveness of sins, all for you, from Jesus.
In the name of Jesus, amen. Will you pray with me? Father in heaven, we thank you that you have again clothed us in your holiness and in your righteousness. Help us to live in that great gift, serving you and loving our neighbors. Strengthen us now in the preaching of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, dear saints, over the course of the last 3 weeks, you couldn't have been in better hands. Pastor Anderson pointing us to this clothing that Christ clothes us with, the wedding garments. And for the last 2 weeks, as Pastor Sutton has preached, he has laid the groundwork for the epistle reading for today, picking up a couple of things that we'll unpack just a little bit more today. We pick up on these words from St. Paul in the epistle reading for today: put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through its deceitful desires, and be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. 2 weeks ago, Pastor Sutton used this great phrase that he unpacked through that sermon, the theology of life. Everybody has one. Everybody has that theology of life, and you might not even recognize it, but it is how you make decisions and why you make the decisions you make. The real question with the theology of life, though, is who's at the center of that theology of life? Is it you, or is it God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? There is a very technical Latin phrase for living in this theology of life when we are at the center. The word is omnifilesceus. That's way too hard to say. Here's the English translation: focusing on your belly button. It's a real thing. Have you ever noticed when a little kid discovers their belly button? They're looking down and they're poking and they're digging and they're flipping and they're just obsessed with this little belly button that they have. Well, when we live that way, when we live curved in on ourselves, we are the center of our own universe, the center of our own world. And everything we do is driven by the fact that we are at the center. Now, when we talk about the theology of life, it's really interesting if we take the word apart. Theos means God, and ology means the study of, kind of like biology. So if theos means the study of God, and ology is the study of that, if I'm at the center of my own universe, who is God? I am. If I'm the center of my own universe, if every decision is made and guided and directed by me, I am taking the role of God. A few years ago, I visited a friend of mine. He invited me over to his house. His office was in his basement. And as I walked into his office, it was very well set up and beautiful. But when I walked in, I was immediately drawn to the back wall. And as I looked at the back wall, it was completely full of plaques and trophies and all kinds of accolades given to this man for his years of service. And as I was standing there in awe of all of these awards that had been given to him, he walked up to me, his arms crossed, he kind of bumped me on the shoulder, and he said, "That's my I love me wall." Who do you suppose is at the center of his universe? He is. All of the work, all of the accomplishments, all the things that he had done is there for him to see. And the problem with that is, as we continue to go down that path, if we continue to go down the path with me at the center of things, it reminds us very clearly of what James says. Desire, when it conceives, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it's fully grown, gives birth to death. In other words, sin leads to more sin, which ultimately leads to damnation. You see, in this man's world, he worked hard, he was successful, he found that fed his ego, so he worked even more hard. He continued to do these things, patting himself on the back, putting his accomplishments on the wall, and it continued to foster him living in as his own God, continuing to do the things that he wanted to do that would give him the results that he wanted. It's an endless, deadly cycle, kind of like a dog. Have you ever seen a dog chasing his tail? Just runs continually in the circle doing those things. When we are our own God, when we are at the center of our theology of life, that's exactly what happens. We continue to chase all of these things that only lead to sin and death. Two things always follow when I am at the center of my own theology of life. The first is we always see God as our enemy. We always see God as the one who's trying to control me, trying to change me, trying to make me conform to what he says, trying to take away the things that I love. When we hear God's words and commands and the law focusing on us, all we see is God being a tyrant. That's what happens when the position of God is already filled by me, when I am at the center of my theology of life. When I'm at the center of my own universe, my theology, and anyone else who wants to be in that position, I would look at as my enemy. Whenever I'm at the center of my own world, the center of my theology, focusing in on my own belly button, I will always believe that God only wants to cause me harm and that he never wants to give me his good gifts. The second thing that happens when I'm at the center of my own theology of life is all of the things that I can't control, all of the things of the world that happen that I have no control over whatsoever, they begin to cause me anxiety and fear. And all of these things of the world that are going on that I can't control them begin to cause panic and anxiety and an overwhelming sense that I'm not in control anymore. How would you do over the last half a year if your theology of life had you at the center? COVID coming in, completely changing the way that our world is functioning. The closing of the economy, and what is that going to mean to the bottom line at the end of this year and into the future? And what will it mean if my candidate doesn't get elected and we go into the next political years? We have no control over those things. And if I'm at the center of my universe, that scares us to the point where we often can't function. When I'm belly button gazing, life is always a fight. When I'm at the center of the world, I'm fighting those who want to control me, fighting my fear, fighting my anxiety, fighting all of those things that are out of my control. That's not what Christ wants for us. Paul has a much simpler solution. Paul simply says this: put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through its deceitful desires. I would say it even more simply: live in your baptism, dear saints. Live in who Christ has created you to be. There at that font with the hand of the pastor and the water and the word in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, God has claimed you as his own. And now, God the Father, who has created you, God the Son, who has redeemed you through his death on the cross, God the Holy Spirit, who continues to guide you to love God and love neighbors, is now at the center of your theology of life. And now God is leading and guiding and directing your decisions so that you might see God, your Father, as a gracious God who has forgiven all of your sins. You might see the work of the Holy Spirit as the one who guides you and continues to help you love your neighbor and to live in a way of life that reflects God's great goodness and joy in the forgiveness of sins. That image that St. Paul picks up on, putting off the old self and putting on, that starts all the way back in the Garden of Eden. But remember, it doesn't ever start with us. Adam and Eve did what they shouldn't have done. They listened to another voice. They didn't listen to God. They believed, or at least they doubted God's promises. They ate, they sinned, and they would die because of that. In the midst of all of that, as they now are recognizing what they've done and their sin that's come into themselves and the world, they tried to cover themselves up. The beautiful bodies that God created, they were covering with fig leaves. And God comes to them with a garden with something more permanent. Skins, animal skins, to cover their shame and nakedness. But the cost of those skins was the cost of a life, the shedding of blood. Right there in the Garden of Eden, as God comes to Adam and Eve to cover them in his image, they are covered in a reminder that blood has to be shed for the forgiveness of sins. Right there in the garden is the promise. Right there in the garden, God does the covering, God does the working. He covers them, and years later, there on the cross, Christ would shed his blood once and for all for Adam and Eve and for you and I. He would cover this original sin and the sins that we do with his holiness and restore us to the image of God that was broken when sin came into the world. When God looks at us now in the waters of baptism, he doesn't see our sins. He sees holy. He sees Jesus covering us. He sees all of our sins have been paid for on the cross by Christ. And when God our Father looks at us now, he sees us restored just like Adam and Eve before sin came into the world. God, in his great love, continues to cover us, to give his holiness to us that we might live that way, not as the center of our own universe, but now living as a way to reflect Christ and his goodness to those around us. A pastor friend of mine, Pastor Tim Reinierson, he's the pastor at Peace Lutheran in Brookings. He and his wife adopted two kids, and they were both adopted as infants, and when their first daughter, Sarah, when she was adopted, right after that, as a good Lutheran pastor, they scheduled the baptism. And on that Sunday morning, as they were standing there, Pastor Reinierson was holding Sarah, and he leaned over the water, and he was pouring the water on her head in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And Sarah, as she was there in his arms, and when he leaned over, his cross was there above her, and Sarah reached up, and she grabbed that cross around his neck, and she would not let go. That's the image of Christ. That's our life in Christ. That's putting off the old self by the gift of the Holy Spirit and grabbing the cross of Christ and holding for every day of our lives. Luther tells us when we get up in the morning, we should make the sign of the cross, say the Ten Commandments, pray the Lord's Prayer, and go joyfully to our work. You see, he starts with who we are. Putting off the old self every morning, putting that away and remembering that our Lord has made us his own in the waters of baptism. Forgiven our sins, given us his Spirit, and guides and directs you today in all of the things that you do. Protecting you, forgiving you, loving you, and giving you his Spirit so that you, dear child of God, may live as this new creation and shine forth in a dark and dying world, loving your neighbor and letting them see the peace that you live in as a child of God. Put off the old self, which is code for remember your baptism. Live in the gifts that God has given to you. In the name of Jesus, amen. And now may the peace that passes all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.